Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. We are live in Western Wisconsin at the Five Lakes Family Farm Organic Agriculture with my friend Bob, the gentleman farmer who has a really interesting story about how he came to start doing this. Spent the whole morning in podcast time here on the farm, you know, just kind of watching how they sell the food that they grow and everything else. And I've become kind of interested in agriculture. So we're going to do the gentleman farmer, and then at some point here in the near future, I'm going to go talk to what the farmers over in Western Wisconsin call themselves the real farmers, not the... So we're going to talk to them after we talk to Bob. But Bob is doing some very interesting things here with organic farming at Five Lakes Family Farm. We'll talk about it in podcast 743. There is a chill in the air. It feels like fall, and it's not even August, and I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, we still have little tiny flies. We aren't even reaching the September proportion of the apocalyptic bottle flies that attack you and bite you yet. I mean, it's look at these little picayune-ish little flies flying around, but winter is coming and fall is coming, right? We know this is going to happen. And I hate to talk about this, but I'll tell you, it happened on the other podcast and it's still. So if you get out of the sun, I had to come out here to get my feet warm because I was in, it's, I don't know, what is it out there? 75? It's not even that. Doesn't seem right. It should be 95. It's almost August. Okay, so the reason I bring it up is because at some point you're going to have to make sure that the heating systems are operating. So very soft pitch for Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems working right, especially these days with the complexities and the digital, you know, water heater, you know, pilot lights and everything else, you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing. So when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service. That's Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And, you know, I would imagine there's probably people that have AC problems because Minnesota and Wisconsin, people turn their AC on when it's 65 degrees. I have not yet turned mine on. Not once have I turned it on. And you don't need it. I actually had the heat on in here last night because it was a little chilly for me. I'm a tropical guy. So this whole thing about air conditioning, but I know there are people that are really concerned about their air conditioning. And if there's a problem, they are great for handling your air conditioning problems. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Once again, in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. So we were sitting around this morning, and we did discuss the air show at one point. And I will mention again, the busiest airport in the world is in Oshkosh, Wisconsin for the next week or so. This is going to be the second week, going into the second week of the air show. If you're a pilot and you're heading over there, you know you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. Alpha Systems makes the thing that will keep you safe. Why? Because on that final turn to land, a lot of pilots feel like they can feel the lift the wing is producing, and that can be deadly. And this is why Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It is a visual indicator of how much lift your wing is producing. It's right on the dashboard in the cockpit. And every plane in general aviation should have this system. If you're going to the air show, go to Building C, check out Mark Corin at Alpha Systems, do his thing. You will hear people talk about how Alpha Systems AOA saved their lives, because that is what it does. And that is the Alpha Systems mission, to keep you alive so that you can enjoy delicious broccoli and tomatoes and all the good stuff we're going to talk about in this podcast. Well, I should let everybody know that there has been a number of technical issues. Mercury is definitely in retrograde, and when I have technical issues, I become the biggest jerk on the planet. I get really upset. But I figured it out through trial and error, and Bob's history is... is that you worked in the electrical business. And so you know about all these things, and he's trying to help me out, and I'm getting all upset. No, that's not it. That's not the problem. But we got it fixed, so we're up and running. And I want you to tell us your story. So this is Five Lakes Family Farm. Tell us how this came about and how it came to be.
Well, it's owned by a conglomerate of some friends together. We all had cabins up in this area, and we were actually looking for a place to store things, and we found this property with some pole barns on it, and 10 acres of the most beautiful land I'd ever seen in my life. So my whole life, I've always, with my father and family, always been interested in growing things, and we always had pretty big gardens. And ever since the first day I've ever stepped on a farm from being a city kid, I loved every bit of it. I've been interested in antique tractor equipment. But when I had the opportunity to, or the space to grow something, I just wanted to see if I could accomplish it and create some great friends and some fantastic food at the same time. So that's pretty much my whole mission statement, I guess.
So this is 10 acres, and you've got how much is actually under, whatever you call it, a development?
I have 1 acre under, you know, deer fences, you might want to call it. We got to keep the critters out. We like to share, but we can't share that much because they're not good at sharing. So we're just doing an acre right now. We're not doing quite an acre, but we're kind of weekend warriors. So, you know, we live in the cities. We pretty much come up here and play on the weekend, and I kind of just put this thing together to explore food and culture.
Yeah, because it's kind of a community. People come and you sit around and drink coffee and talk. And you know, people who know me know me being here at 8 o'clock in the morning, even would be a stretch. So I was bleary eyed because I stayed up half the night last night, and you know, hanging out in Mobile Podcast Command, did a podcast, wandered around outside for God knows how long, and then finally packed in about 3 o'clock in the morning. And then he's banging on my door at 7:30. You came over here. What time did you get over here this morning?
I got over here probably around 6:30. You know, we don't pick your food until you're coming.
Oh yeah, so that's another thing, is that the food is literally just picked, and you showed me. I don't know, how many rows are there? There's 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or something like that.
We've got 13 rows in one section, and we're just kind of sprawling out across the acreage, and we keep adding things as time goes by. We just keep planning. We're finding out at certain points. We're still really in the test pattern of all things, of, you know, in, as a market-wise, what's the best here. But I do know that people love what we're doing, and they tell us.
You've got broccoli. You've got kale. What else? Eggplant. White eggplant.
Eggplant, tomatoes, cucumbers, pumpkin, squash, melons, beans. We're planting it all. Everything we can possibly imagine, we're trying to plant.
So how is organic farming / gardening? I look at it as a farm. I mean, it's an acre now, but you've discussed how to get yield out of it, and you and I have had some discussions about, you know, your sort of your plan for the future in terms of more once you kind of get the feel of this. What's the difference between organic, I hate to say gardening, but organic farming on this scale and, you know, standard gardening / farming?
Well, on this scale, you know, or I think organic farmers and regular farmers share some of the same issues or same situations, because the bigger the farm, the bigger the equipment. You know, right now we're kind of at this size where we don't have all the really fancy equipment. So the difference right now between us and people that don't is the amount of labor that we're willing to put into what we're growing.
So you don't have a whole bunch of machinery.
No, we kind of got one, but yeah, the machines are...
Yeah, you got the thing you made to spray them.
Yeah, so the machinery is kind of... we've got something that really helps us out as far as water tilling sort of things, but, you know, we build raised beds, we lay down the watering system, and then we weed.
And that's about it.
What people want to know about organic farming, it's really about feeding them great food and keeping the weeds
out. Well, what's great food?
Well, great food to me is what I call live food, where if you're standing there and I just hand you a...
No, I mean the feeding the plants, like organic farming. How do you do it?
You know, we're using an organic ground fish fertilizer that we mix with water, and we apply that to the base at the plants. So, and we feed them often, but that's really all we feed them.
And then you've got some kind of cornstarch plastic.
We do have a membrane we're building. When we first started, that's all we ever did was weed fields. And so we're getting smarter as the time goes by, and we have an organic type of membrane that we can put down that the plants will grow through. It keeps the weeds down, and we also drip water underneath that now. So we're doing that. We're not wasting water out here, and it's much more efficient. We can feed through that. Yeah, we're just getting a little smarter about it because it really brings the labor part of it down.
How do you handle bugs? And I know the critters we talked about. You've got the electric fence around, and then it's angled out. But how do you handle bugs and rot and all those crazy things that happen? And again, I don't know anything about this.
Well,
but I know this morning
we're still
you were
learning.
Saying that some of the the tomatoes were.
Tomatoes got blight because, you know, that's just the certain amount of rainfall, a certain amount of heat at the same time just kind of sets it off. We've had bugs out here. And, you know, we try to always run the line. I mean, sometimes we just lose crops because we can't control it. You know, we lost quite a bit of the potato crop this year. And, you know, we're pretty much spraying with a baking soda, vegetable oil, and dish soap. I mean, we're trying to create something where we change the pH of the plant to something that the bug doesn't like. And so that's how you try to control. So, but it's really about making food that people want to come and visit, see, and buy. I mean, again, we create this cool little culture here for ourselves to hang out. And we've created this big bunch of friends that come here to hang out.
Yeah, it was all morning, one after the other.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just from this is just from this little lakes area that people come up and visit and buy, you know, whatever, broccoli, and I guess today was the zucchini and what are they?
Cukes cucumbers, and beans, and there was quite a few things.
Yeah, the beans are amazing. So, and then your big hit is the tomatoes. You've done really well with they call them crack, the tomatoes that you make.
The little miniature yellow ones, yeah, the sugar content's pretty high in them. People kind of come running for that. But they do. I mean, people wait for tomatoes. They wait for something that, you know, somebody answered the perfect question to me once. I said, how do those tomatoes taste? And they said, just like summer.
That's good.
You know, I mean, it's as sweet as you can get. It's ripened on the vine. We don't pick it off. We don't pre-pick our fruits and our veggies. We get them that morning. And if we're out and you happen to be walking when we're up, then I go out and dig more right out for you. I mean, if you take our basil and put it in water, it'll grow.
Oh, yeah. You've got a bunch of herbs, too. So you've got
a little something for everybody.
Basil, rosemary, thyme. What else? And they smell amazing. I mean, you know, you can buy, what is it, rosemary? That's the stuff that looks like a pine tree. And you can buy that in the store fresh, and it smells good. This stuff is amazing. I mean, you smell it, and it's just amazing. It's a completely different experience. And then you were showing the broccoli is really soft. And so it's not like and we're buying fresh, quote unquote, organic, you know, at Trader Joe's or something or wherever he's used, supposedly. This whole thing about, you know, and that brings up this whole other area, this question of, you know, and it's stream of consciousness, but, you know, you go to the store and it's organic and then the non-organic. And to me, it's all organic because it's not meat. It's, you know, it's vegetables, and you're paying $2 more for organic broccoli. And is it better? I don't know. I'll buy a bag of organic broccoli from Trader Joe's and a bag of non-organic, and I can't tell the difference. But this stuff, it's not like the broccoli you buy in the store. It is so fresh. It's super soft. So I would imagine you just put that in a pan of water, boiling water, blanch it, and you're ready to go.
Pretty much. Minutes.
Wow.
Just literally minutes. My take on all that organic, non-organic is, you know, some people are really set back on, okay, we're not having anything with GMO and that we're not going to, you know. But my deal is, if you're looking for real food, you want to eat live food, and that's, if you can get it right off the plant, is at my point, at that opinion. I do everything organically, but I don't care if you're just eating fresh food out of your garden that you put Miracle-Gro on. I mean, right off the plant, it doesn't get any better than that. Everything that's growing at that
point. So you're
not
an organic food Nazi.
No.
You're not saying this is the way it has to be, because
no.
People will say we're going to, yeah, but you're not thinking about the pesticides, which you don't use because it's organic. Or you're quote unquote farming it organically. And then you have a little sign out there that says farm to table, which is that's a big thing with food these days.
I think that's bigger. To me, that's bigger than the organic. I mean, you know, if we're talking organic, non-organic, maybe we're rolling into that spot where we talk about processed or non-processed food. And at that point, right. if you're talking
GMOs.
To me, you know, you just go non-processed food and help yourself out. But
what about the inputs in terms of cost for the non-GMO seeds and things like that?
Expensive.
So it is expensive.
Yeah.
It is more expensive to farm that way, which is why it's more expensive at the store, I would imagine.
It's much more labor intensive in most cases. And, you know, we trying to create something here, too, that maybe we could find a couple of local chefs that want to serve something different every day, that just want to come and shop at the garden throughout the summer, you know, and they could put money in a bucket. I don't care. But I just want to see it go out there. And again, we really created something here, and we planned it long before we planted it. And people knew we were going to plant it.
So you put up signs. What do you say, the signs that are marketing for your farm? Because you're a marketing guy. And we're going to talk about your experience, because you don't live in a vacuum. I mean, you didn't come upon this. You know, you've got long experience in industry and in marketing, and you have an interesting way of marketing the farm.
This is a personal thing to us. And so what I mean by that is I wanted people to believe that this was their spot. So while I was building the farm, people would come by, and we're way out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
They'd come by bicycling and they'd stop, and I'd strike up the conversation. I wanted to start it then. I said, hey, if I was doing this, would you come? Would you be here? They said, yeah, we'd love to. And I said, well, I am doing this. But keep coming by. I said, the cooler's always full of water and soda pops. But keep coming by to check it out, because you're going to see progression. And so by the time we actually tested it out the first day, just to have people come, it was amazing. And the cars were just flying in. And we had signs 12 miles away, and all it said was, this way to better food.
That's amazing.
12 miles.
12 miles this way to better food.
Right?
I hope there was a payoff.
So, and people would come and say, we need better signs. And I said, well, it's been 2.5 hours. And there's nothing left except like wood to sell on the farm. I said, it's all gone. So we've created a piece where we know how much we have right now or how much we're growing. People know it. And they pretty much know that they've almost got a spot here to come and get what they want on the weekends.
What's the most popular thing that you sell?
Tomatoes.
That's it.
Tomatoes.
Really? That's what
Vine
they want.
Vine-ripened tomatoes. 10 times over that, and fresh green beans right off the vine, you know, where you can blanch them for about 2 minutes, and they're just... So that, you know, main staples that we've had our whole life. Cucumbers are a big deal. Zooks are a big deal.
Yeah.
But tomatoes...
Oh, you were selling potatoes, too. You had some potatoes.
Yeah, we dug some little ones this morning, but just to check everything out, see how it's going. But, yeah, when we have vine-ripened tomatoes, I mean, I've got this crazy little scooter. I go make deliveries on them. People call here for them, so...
Wow. Well, and it brings to mind, you know, people... It's interesting because we have... And we know people who, you know, we have cancers, we have heart problems, we have a lot of diseases for people that... Now, maybe it was because back in the day, people didn't live to be into their 50s and 60s, but we have people that are starting to have these problems, which some people believe are related to food. They're related to the things that we drink, the water, you know, and so on. And those people that lived, you know, I go back to a book I read about some guy back in that. He was the guy that invented the Magnum rifle. I forget his name. I always forget his name, and I'm so sorry, because he's a giant in the firearms industry. And he lived in the 20s. They lived out in Montana. And he said that, you know, when I was growing up, there was no roads. We didn't have roads. And... we never used cash. The only time they used cash is when they wanted to... buy land or to buy hard goods. And most of the time, the hard goods were, you know, things like coffee or, you know, boots or something like that. And everything was bartered and traded. And he said, we never wanted for anything. We had fresh milk. We had, you know, cream. We had flour. We had the best meat. And of course, he was a hunter. So anything they needed, he would go out and get a deer or whatever. And, you know, he lived to be probably 90, something like that. And the book is called Hell, I Was There. And everyone should read this book. It is a fabulous, because it's a glimpse into what life was like, and everybody thinks, oh, life was so hard out there and in that time, and I'm sure for us it would be hard. For them, it was just life. And he said, you know, if you needed blankets or anything, you took what you had and you traded it, and you would go to the Sunday. You'd go to church on Sunday, and there'd be a big trading thing, and everybody would trade. I got pies, you got blankets, and that's kind of what's going on over here. I saw you this morning not even taking money a couple of times from people.
It's not the important part of this deal.
Right.
Right. We never have done it for the money. It was for the people. And I don't even sound like I'm trying to create. I'm not. I just found a great spot where everybody that comes here seems to really enjoy themselves. They come here with their dogs and their kids, and I open the gates and say, you know what, just go out there. And then they come up and go, can we weed for a while? I mean, how often do you hear that? Right?
So they come up and look and see what you've got growing back there. Okay, now let's talk about business a little bit. So one of the things that you and I talked about, and Bob and I belong to a little business group, which will remain nameless, but one of the things that you talked about the other morning, and which one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast, because it was very interesting to me, is you said, you know, I think there's a way to actually get higher yield in terms of dollars from this per acre than a normal everyday farm, where you've got farmers that are farming 5,000-6,000 acres and struggling, and you feel like you have a business model that would work to be able to make a lot of money per acre. So you would say, once I can get the model working for this 1 acre that I have, I can expand it out and we can actually do pretty well. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because I want to make sure I didn't imagine it. That happens from time to time.
You know, it to the best of us.
My mom often says, where did you get that? Because I'll be telling some story about when I was a kid.
Well, we think it up.
And I go, no, that happened. Oh, no, that did not happen. So, anyway.
Well, you know what? This, you know, really what it was, too, is I, like you, went to the grocery store and basically never bought the organic, okay? Because it was always more, and I'm like, you know, I'm like,
we're cheap.
And it's not meat, right? But I thought if I was doing this, I would just, but that's where I came up with the extra money, because they get it, and people are just crowding around it to buy it. And it's
regional / local. So what you're doing is you're developing a customer base first, and then saying, then I can expand out from this customer base. Is that? I didn't mean to interrupt.
I want to create a business where this is referral driven from people to other people. I have people that literally walk up to us and take a look at the garden and go, I'm going to go get a couple of friends to come and see this. I mean, what we've tried to do, and hopefully we've accomplished it, is create a really beautiful spot where, you know, we have plants growing out of basically lawn. And these beautiful, I mean, I want people to come here and go, you know what, we don't get to see this anywhere else. And we want, I don't know, maybe it's something I created that years ago, people my age want younger folks to see it now. And you can see from sitting here today that, you know, everybody of all ages comes here.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I actually was napping in the truck for a good part of this morning. I came and I gave it hell. I drank my coffee and I talked for, you know, a couple of hours. And then I came out here and I thought, well, I'm just going to lay down for 10 minutes. What? I was out here an hour and a half or something.
I knew where you went. Because I was thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got out here way early and you were actually working. I didn't do a damn thing, except this is now my work. I'm doing this. So
well, for me, you know, I'm now you know, in better shape and 30 pounds lighter after having the place.
Well, that's so, another thing.
That's
yeah.
a huge thing for me.
So your plan then is to expand it and you know, try what's the future for this? Because, you know, this is I made a joke and I said we're going to do this podcast with a gentleman farmer. And you know, people have this as a dream. This is people come up to say to me, God, I wish I could drive around the country like you do. And I don't do it all the time, especially when I'm trying to develop my business, because people think I'm on vacation and I'm not. It's like I have a cell phone and a computer. I can sell advertising from wherever I am. But they think, oh, I was going to call you, but you were on vacation. No. But people have this dream. They see, I would love to have, you know, a small farm. They just have a dream of doing that. And I'm shocked at the number of people that really, young people, yeah. It's not just people that are ready to retire. I'm going to retire and have a farm. It's people in their 20s and 30s that want to just get out of the city and have this experience.
Peace. They're looking for peace and quiet. They really are. And I mean, they come here in groves to visit. It's like I built, you know, the Field of Dreams or something. They just show up. Some people don't even buy. They just come and walk around.
Wow.
It's amazing, you know, and they'll look at me and I go, you don't have to buy anything. You know, that's what I built this for. It was for you guys to come here and enjoy it. No pretentious stuff goes on. I mean, we just sit and have coffee. And, yeah, do politics get thrown around a little bit once in a while?
Well, we were admonished.
You know, and let's face it, we've got everybody from every walk of life that shows up here and hangs around for some coffee, right? So for me, all of that is, the food is just the highway to get there. I mean,
so you don't really want to expand it. You're not trying to build a big giant business.
I want to put
something. See, that's what I'm getting to. Don't come off like you don't have this mogul concept in mind.
Well, I have a mogul concept of like doing 4 acres. Okay.
Okay.
But in order to do that, I have to make some. I either have to get enough people, which you just won't find.
Well, you're going to have to get machinery.
I have to go buy equipment.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm willing to do that. That part's in my business plan. So,
well, the thing is, it would be, for this size, you don't have to buy a $150,000 John Deere combine, right? You can use the Farmall and a couple other things.
Well, we basically use an Italian walk behind tractor.
Okay,
we bought that specially. They use it a lot. Not pushing on the Europe, but they have smaller plots of land over there. They use a machinery like this that's got a lot of attachments. So we've got a lot of options there. But I can tell you, you know, there's a couple of us that really do the field work in days and days and days. And I'm not sure sometimes when we do it, you know, we're wondering why. But then at this point, you know, where it's all coming off the vine and we're picking it and people are here.
Then you know why.
Well, then we know why.
But you've got a plan to make some money, right?
Eventually, yes, I do. I mean, okay. You know,
that's what
otherwise, why be in business? I think there's a ton of money in small-time organic farming. And I don't think it's anything different than finding, you see people doing it all over where they create these organic farms where you pay so much a year and they drop a box off to you every week. I forget the name of the concept on that, but you know what? I want you to just come here, get it off the vine where you can get basil and shove it in a glass and tomorrow there'll be roots coming out of it.
Wow.
You know, that's what we're trying to sell. And I think that we can get enough people to come here. We can make it go. I'm never going to be a million, and I'm not looking for that. You know, I'm looking to have some fun and pay my bills and get on about that a little
bit. So you're not in it, and I'm going to talk to some farmers who are in the midst of this, where they're farming 5, 6, 7, 30,000 acres, and you know, that's a whole different thing, because you've got companies coming in and saying, you know, you have to be able to have this much yield, and you can plant it, we'll come and harvest it. They bring their own, they take care of it. But we're talking about a huge volume of soybeans and corn and things of that nature, which I don't want to eat either one of those things, to tell you the truth.
Well, we're also talking about are farmers willing to do something different than they used to be? And I don't mean talking about the way I do things. Are they willing to put in a different crop? Okay, I mean,
that's a good question. We talked about that.
Well, we talked about that, and I said I do know some guys that, you know, they farm full-time on big farms, and they've switched out a lot of their crops, and they've sold them differently with great success. So
you know it's possible.
I do know it's possible.
I mean, the other part of this is there's obviously a space where the high volume farming and the staples, the soybeans and the corn and things of that nature, are essential. You know, we're talking about feed for, I mean, we've got a country of 350 million people, and you got a world of, you know, $7 and $8 billion people. We can't all be organic farmers. You know, there has to be some volume. There has to be some, and people are like, corporate farms, but it's like, we're feeding the world, you know?
We are feeding the world. And you know what? As far as that corporate farm thing goes, they're doing things better now, in my mind, than they have done in years past. No one turns the soil anymore. We run a chisel plow through it. We leave the stuff there from last year. Okay, that's in the big fields of the big beans. And as they rotate, they leave last year's pieces behind so that they don't need as much fertilizer. We're definitely making great strides in our food. Now, there's a lot of naysayers out there. And I get there's a lot of people behind this too, that this is all about money and not about food. But we're changing that a little bit from, but you're right, we do have to feed the world. And we do feed the world.
Right.
And we've got to make some big crop.
Well, I mean, the other thing about corporate farming, and this is just my, I don't know anything about it, but this is my take, and that is that in 1930, one guy could only farm maybe 30 acres with a tractor. I don't know, 100 acres, whatever. There wouldn't, 100-acre farms were not unusual in terms of size. So, these small towns up here were teeming with these people who were all farming 200, 300, 400 acres maybe. And today, what's happened is one person can farm great numbers of parcels, so that because of machinery, so one guy can do more than one guy could do in 1930. And I don't know that people have made that connection. So it's the evil corporate farms that are doing this stuff. But then when you actually go to the evil corporate farm, the evil corporate farmer I know, it's a family farm. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger year after year because he had the capital and the equipment to do it.
Smart farmer, right? Continued to work on his business.
Lucky or smart?
I think smart. I mean, there was a really big time through the 70s and all that where, a lot of big major changes, came in this country as far as food went. And, back then, if you worked for, a big chemical company, I would say, right?
or U.S. Steel.
Well, and how do we, enhance our food with a,
Monsanto.
We've made that change where people are saying, we would really rather eat something that's safer and better. And, it's kind of weird. And I'm not planting anything like this causes anything else. I just think people live healthier with food. But
why do people, what's the big issue with GMO? That we were talking about this last night, and somebody said, you can't eat the GMO stuff. It's terrible for your body, can't process that stuff. Was that you? Somebody was telling me that recently.
No, I believe that, they've certainly changed how our, I buy non-GMO seed is what they're guaranteed to be. GMO, I don't know a lot about it. I haven't really studied it, so what I'd be talking about may be hearsay. So I've heard that, like wheat is a much shorter, fatter piece now that's actually got, enhancers built in the seed. It's got a fertilizer. It's got something that bugs don't want to eat. It's already there. But a lot of people are like, we don't want that on our food. And so I don't know if it's caused any, maybe the world's just changed too. Everybody's gluten free now. I mean, right? I don't even know what gluten is. Okay,
people go to McDonald's and they ask for gluten free. Right? McDonald's doesn't they? I think they do offer gluten free.
They do.
It's ridiculous.
They do. We do not.
Why would you go to Five Guys to get gluten free? I would think it would be much better to have, organically raised beef and, an organically raised bun and organically raised lettuce and one of your tomatoes and a delicious burger that was real instead of whatever it is that they're using, for patties at some of these fast food places. That's the whole thing with Five Guys or In-N-Out or whatever.
Well, it's
supposed to be really good.
We're going there. We're going to go there. I just think we're waiting for the change to happen. And right now,
it's mass specialization is what it is. We grew up in, you and I grew up in an area of mass marketing.
Right.
Today, it's mass specialization and it's hitting everything. And it seems to be possible to do very well providing mass specialization. And what that means is Amazon's a perfect example of mass specialization to me. It's a giant company that you and I would go there and get completely different things and have a completely different experience, right?
What a good experience.
Yeah, well, supposedly. Some people thought Prime Day was a joke, but, and that was the other thing. Everyone's all over Amazon because of Prime Day. Prime Day! It's a promotion. Relax. Why does a company have to take crap because they decided to run a promotion? Who do they think they are?
Well, marketing is dirty.
Oh, my God. It's like, get over it. You don't have to be part of Prime Day. Just delete the email and get over it. I got like four emails. You have not taken advantage of your Prime. I got Prime so I can watch a TV show. That's why I got it. I want to watch Man in the High Castle. That was it. So
I just have it so I get fast shipping if I need to buy something.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well,
no, but I think people want, so specialization is part and parcel of what we're talking about in terms of food. So if you're up here and you come up here on the weekends, you're thinking, hey, we want to have a really nice dinner on Saturday night with a few friends. I'm going to go over to Five Lakes Family Farm and get myself some of those really good tomatoes and some, you know, rosemary, and we're going to make this chicken, and it's going to be so good.
It will taste totally different than what you buy if you were doing that in the cities. I guarantee that.
Wow.
You know, when we clip the herbs, you've seen them.
Yeah,
you know,
I smelled
them. We walk in a 40 by 60 farm, and I can walk through the door, and people are like, wow. So there is. I mean, the lettuce right off the dirt, the radishes that you're just pulling out. When you hit the salad, the flavors of it, it really is that different. And you know, it's kind of neat, as we've had elderly folks that show up that look great and tell me they're 90 years old and look at my radishes and go, well, these are pink just like when I was a little girl. And so she goes, this is why we come here, because supposedly nothing's been changed, you know. But even in the organic line, they create new seeds that are non-GMO'd. We have some red and white, you know, string beans coming out next week that will be, you know, totally organic.
But what was that white eggplant? Is that a creation as well? And you said, I've never seen that.
I've got it by accident, but they're outgrowing. They're long skinny, different white eggplants. So people will know when they see it. They'll, you know, it's crazy. They just want to buy something good to have later in the day. I think it makes them feel good. And you know what? They also need a little something to do when they come to the lake. So they come out to the farm, right?
Well, thanks for letting me come to your... You know, darken your doorway with this giant truck that I travel around in. When I got here, I went to the house two doors down where there's a bunch of guys partying, and they must have been napping. It was like, what time was it? It was like 7:30. Yeah. They were dead to the world so they were getting ready for their evening of
second round.
Second round. And I had the lights on and everything just as a joke. And I look over, and here's Bob two doors down. Hey, it's over here. So then I backed out, and I went to another driveway. So I went right next door, and I stayed at your friend's cabin next door. He's not there. So I just was like, I'm
we made
here.
You stay there.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have fit in your driveway anyway at that point.
Thanks for coming up, because this is so much fun just to actually sit with somebody and be able to tell my story a little bit about what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Which is 2 years from now, just making a living and providing people with a great time on a Saturday. And I'm telling you right now, 3 hours a week, that's it. 9 to noon on Saturday.
Aside from all the other work that you have to do during the...
Right. But I mean, we sell for 3 hours.
Yeah. And you pretty much sold out today.
We're done.
I mean, you know, I did take a nap for a while.
Not much left for me to take home the night for dinner. So we're hoping, even at a larger scale... But we'll introduce other things with it. I mean, there'll be local artists, there'll be other things. And every one of them is not something I want to make anything from. I want them to come to enhance my experience, and then they get to sell too.
Right.
I mean, that's just part of the whole, how do we create this little cool culture here? Everybody's welcome.
Hey, thanks once again to Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business for sponsoring this podcast. They can still check your AC. I have a feeling we're going to have an early fall. And when I say that, you might need some heating checks. And really, this is not the time of the year to be talking about this, but I'm just mentioning it because unless it starts warming up, I'm going to get worried. So remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back 4 generations. In St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, Spreaker, whatever that is. Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio have married, and they're going to have a baby at some point. I don't know what it's going to be. Also, all of those other apps like Podcatcher and Podbean. And I appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and your donations for fuel, diesel fuel. It's $3.08 a gallon, and I'm going to fill up before I go back. So thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com.
This really is.
You having fun with this?
Absolutely.
Well, this is, but you were saying, hey, I'd love to see you do a podcast. And I was like, and people, what? There's a podcast that they tour the country. They're doing arena shows. And I'm like, it's a podcast. Why would you? It's nothing. But now you've got a chance to see it.
It's almost really about, I did not want to sound scripted.
Oh, God, no.
I wanted to just tell people what we do.
Thanks to my friend Bob once again for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Boop.
Where's yours? So why don't you tell me what you got here?
Thank you for coming out in the appropriate footwear, as it's supposed to be.
What do you got here?
These are onions.
Oh.
You had one last night.
Yeah, they're really good.
And so we're just waiting for them to get big, so we kind of just keep piling it around them. You're taking the competition away is what I'm trying to do here.
The grass.
Oh.
Or what are they? Weeds, whatever.
Quack grass, it's called.
And then what else you got over here?
Well, so our next batch over here, this is just our line of tomatoes. We got several varieties, and we got a few rows of them growing. So we've got little ones, we got big ones, we've got Romas.
And these are the crack tomatoes, the famous crack tomatoes.
Well, that's down in the crack department down there.
The crack tomato section.
Hey, kid. How you doing?
Yeah. I'm so glad you're doing this again.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years, but we wanted to come back out and play.